Good morning and a warm welcome to you all. Christian Aid, firstly, a big thank you to all of you who have already supported the activities and events of the week. As I'm sure you will remember, today's the day that Team KURC braves the notorious Christian Aid Circle of the City challenge in pursuit of fame, celebrity status, and a double page spread in the Guinness Book of Records. You'll be pleased to hear that all team members have submitted themselves voluntarily to stringent medical tests and have been found to be free of any illegal performing substances. You'll be even more pleased to hear that you're still in time to sponsor any of them. It doesn't matter who. Shortly after the service, before they abandon the comparative luxury of the Mayo Hall for the walker's equivalent of North Face of the Eiger. Finally, just a reminder of their names. Peter Ashdown. I won't ask you to stand this time. Please put your hand up. Peter Ashdown. Ray Erskine. Georgina Forbes. Rosette. Is she here today yet? And Vaughan James. Which moves me on to some very exciting pastoral news related to Teresa and Vaughan. They are now grandparents. To Alice Thelma, who was born on Saturday. Brenda Ives' funeral is on the 8th of June at Randall's Park at 12:30. The service will be led by our minister Leslie Charlton. And if you'd like further details, please contact Myrtle, who is... I can't see you. Yes, with her hand up over there. Thank you. Now, May is a busy month for walkers. On Bank Holiday Monday, the 25th of May, there will be a chance for the Christian Aid walkers and the rest of us to join in with a gentle walk. It meets at Isabella Plantation Car Park, Richmond Park, at 10:20. Then they start their walk. The walk starts, and then at 12 o'clock it's lunchtime in the New Inn and Ham Common with a stroll back to the cars. And your person for contact is Georgina Forbes. Thank you.
We join together to worship God. Come and worship the God who is our creator and is our strength. Come and give thanks to Jesus the Son, who is our protector. Come and celebrate the power of the Spirit, who is our truth. Come and rejoice that we belong to God today and every day. We join to sing, Morning Has Broken.
Morning has broken.
So let us pray. Faithful God, we come to you and worship. Come and bless us with your holiness. Bless us with your power. And bless us with your protecting love. Almighty God, you unite us. You pray for us. You protect us. Even though sometimes we need to be protected from ourselves. Forgive us when we have not looked to you but looked away. Forgive us when we have not rejoiced in our oneness but we have bickered and begrudged. When we have looked to our own strength and have not seen how we have compromised and betrayed your calling on our lives. You know us, even as we are, in the wrong things that we do, in the good that we could do and we don't do, and you love us. You surround us in your power, your grace, and your truth. We thank you, and we ask that you would help us to be your people day by day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive others. And do not leave us the time of trial, but deliver us from evil.
This morning in our two services, we're going to be looking at some signs. This is a sign, a Makaton sign, and it's the sign for glory. This is the sign for glory. Just great. Excuse me, hello, I'm not by myself here. Glory. This is a sign for glory. Let me see you. Glory. Don't you think that's really the most appropriate sign, glory? As in, here I am. Yeah, glory. Now, the glory of God is shown in each one of us. But sometimes we're so busy thinking about the glory for ourselves. Maybe what we need to do is be thinking of glory like this. Hello? Thank you very much. Thinking about pointing upwards, outwards. Maybe we need to be thinking about living our lives that shout about the glory of God. The glory of God. We're going to sing. We could clap when we're singing. We could. We join together to sing, "Give Me Joy in My Heart." See you later. May God bless you and bless us. Amen. See you later. See you later, Dylan. So in the first reading, which is from Acts, we learn about the implications of Judas's betrayal, what it might mean for a community to lose a member, and the fact that it is incomplete. It's very important that there are 12 apostles representing the 12 tribes, those complete, and so there is a need for there to be restoration. Finlay Forbes will read this first passage to us.
A few days later, there was a meeting of the believers, about 120 in all, and Peter stood up to speak. "My fellow believers," he said, "the scripture had to come true in which the Holy Spirit, speaking through David, made a prediction about Judas, who was the guide for those who arrested Jesus. Judas was a member of our group, for he had been chosen to have a part in our work. So then, someone must join us as a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He must be one of the men who were in our group during the whole time that the Lord Jesus travelled about with us, beginning from the time John preached his message of baptism until the day Jesus was taken up from us to heaven." So they proposed two men: Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, also known as Eustace, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know the thoughts of everyone. So show us which of these two you have chosen to serve as an apostle in the place of Judas, who left to go to the place where he belongs." Then they drew lots to choose between the two men, and the one chosen was Matthias, who was added to the group of 11 apostles.
John 17 is an intense piece of scripture that you're well advised to have a bit of a look at when you go home. I'm only picking out a few themes. There's a lot to be said in this. A lot to be said that I'm not going to feature on, about giving, about loving, about glory. John 17, and Georgina Forbes will read this piece from Jesus' priestly prayer.
John 17, verses 6 to 19. "I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word. And now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and my glory is shown through them. And now I am coming to you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one just as you and I are one. While I was with them, I kept them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me. I protected them, and not one of them was lost, except the man who was bound to be lost, so that the scripture might come true. And now I am coming to you, and I say these things in the world so that they might have my joy in their hearts in all its fullness. I gave them your message, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but I do ask you to keep them safe from the evil one. Just as I do not belong to the world, they do not belong to the world. Dedicate them to yourself by means of the truth. Your word is truth. I sent them into the world just as you sent me into the world. And for their sake, I dedicate myself to you in order that they, too, may be truly dedicated to you.
Thank you. So this is Jesus' priestly prayer. Jesus is talking to the Father, as he says, asks that the glory that is his, has been his from before time began. And the passage makes it clear that following Jesus is to choose the glory of God rather than the glory of the world. The prayer is that those who follow Jesus would be protected from the evil one, not protection from the world which they are a part of. And it is not that the world is evil. God loved the world so much that Jesus came. The challenge is that those who are born of the Spirit can expect to be a mystery to those who are of the world. So take this week, for example. This is the best Sunday in the year. Best Sunday in the year. Why is this the best Sunday in the year? It's the end of Christian Aid Week. Yes! We've done it! Hurrah! Except for the walkers. Hurrah! The door-to-door, it is behind us. But the witness of banging on doors and saying to people, can you give me some money that I can give away to the poorest? When we were doing our collecting, it was the only evening this week in which it was raining. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't say it to ourselves. But it was great because a number of people said, you must really believe in this stuff to be out on such a dreadful night. Our hope is that spirit made them generous. But the witness of it is strong and pointing towards something that is a mystery. The disciples are sent as a sign of God's love, signs of the abiding love of God for the world. Jesus does not want the disciples to be rescued from the world, not to be rescued from the world. They are to be in the world. We are to be in the world. It's not our calling to gather together in some holy huddle away from the world. We are to be in the world. And he says in the passage that he doesn't pray for the world, which is strange in view of the well-known text that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. And the world in this context is about the systems and the organization of the world without God. It's not the world per se, systems and organizations in the world which are organized without God. And that's where the problem lies. Not in the world itself, but in the culture that puts other things in the place of God. So it's not right for people to withdraw. We've got to be involved in following Jesus, even when the going is tough. The call is to be refreshed by Jesus for the fight. There are times when we need to stop. There are times we need to be refreshed. And daily we swim in a culture which is not godly. God is not the top priority in our society. We live in the toughest mission field the world has ever known. That's according to the renowned missionary Leslie Newbegin. The toughest mission field the world has ever known. Yet this is the place where God has called you and God has called me to be. So from John 17, this is a prayer of protection, and that is good news. The good news is the presence of the Spirit. The bad news is the toughness of the battle. And the fact that we often do not know that we are in the battle. So to take a story from Anthony DiMello and turn it around and tell it in reverse. I want to see the ocean, says the little fish as it swims by. We want to see our culture so we can be aware of it, so we can be conscious of it, so we can spot the temptations and the pitfalls. But we can't see it. Because its presence blinds us. It is one of the joys of being in a church like ours, where as you get to know people from different cultures, you get to realize that some of the things that we take as foundational Christian things actually are about our culture. So, for example, when you are a South Korean and Korean and you come to faith, you give up smoking and you give up alcohol before you start thinking about anything else. That's what you do. And so Koreans come to Britain and they encounter these Christians who smoke and drink, and it's a big shock. Or if you're a Korean and you want to build a church, what you do is you go around and you nick people from other churches. Come on, come on. And our ecumenical hackles rise at such a thought. They, of course, think that we're naive. Okay then, so we're in the world, we're not of it. And we are called to live a holy life. What are the markers of a holy life? Well, there are a number of ways in which the life of faith to which we are called is completely at odds with the culture in which we swim. And I'm going to give you some. I'm going to work a little bit on a few of them. But you could come up with a lot more. I would say that one of the markers of a holy life would be perseverance. Mark of a holy life would be depth. Mark of a holy life would be the affirmation of the ordinary. Marker of a holy life would be taking time, the enemy of busyness. Before, I would say a marker of a holy life is to challenge the perception of the individual as the pinnacle. I would say community. Understanding community is one of the markers of holy life. That's five. I would say having a value for the wisdom of the years. That would take us to six. I would say that one of the ways in which we are in our culture, we assume that numbers are everything. That also is a place where we are challenged in our culture of holy life. Could go on, and I'm sure you've thought I've missed something out that's absolutely vital, and we'll take it later. So by perseverance, I mean keeping on going in the same direction, not flitting around from one attractive option to the next attractive option, not from one bright, shiny new program to the next bright, shiny new program, and the next new, and the... Or depth. We lived in a culture where what you could describe as a pub quiz mentality, a thin layer of knowledge. Whereas, as Christian people, we're called to acquire a deep knowledge. So that's about studying the scriptures. Why would you study the scriptures when there are so many books? Because we require a deep knowledge, not just a thin superficial. So it's not just about reading of the scriptures. It's about studying a passage. It's about reflecting on a passage. It's about letting a passage go round and round your head and going right inside you. The ordinary life. When ordinary life, an ordinary life lived well, rarely celebrated in our society, except maybe at the point of death. Too late. An ordinary life lived well is a godly and a good thing, a great thing. Lord, I ask to live my ordinary life well. I don't need my 15 minutes of fame. Thank you very much. Don't need it. It's a great story. Sorry, hey John. It's a great story about Eugene Peterson, who's the guy that translated the Message. Eugene Peterson is somebody, as people have said, the man that wrote the Bible. Translates the Bible, and he was invited to go and spend a bit of time by the chaplain of U2. U2 are one of the biggest rock bands in the world. I said that for Saul He's benefit. Right, so he's invited to go and spend a bit of time with U2, and he said no. And the people came back and said, what? You could have spent days hanging around with U2 and you said no? And he said, yes, I had a deadline in my translation. He said, you had a deadline in your translation, but it's U2. He said, yes, but it was the prophet Isaiah. Example of a holy life. And what about time? Busyness. Things on the go, always on the move. Now, now, now. Must be done straight away. Now, now. Somebody in our church community who told me that within their organization, if a message comes in, it has to be responded to in 8 hours. A worldwide organization, 8 hours. Now, there are times when something is important and urgent, but often all it is urgent. Will it not keep? Culture of busyness, culture of time pressure. When God made time, God made time. How are we then to keep ourselves on track? If this is the culture in which we swim, if this is the culture where God has called us to be, how are we to keep ourselves on track? I think called to study. You use the method that works for you. You look at those clips online. You read that scripture. You gather together with some friends. You pray. But we are called to be people that study. Think about the amount of time you take in this culture as opposed to the time that you deliberately, strategically imbue Christian culture into your life. Pitiful. We're called to listen. We're called to support and to challenge each other. We are called to pray, to listen to God. And if we do not, well, in comes a shattering example. One of your own goes against you. Is there anything more painful than that? The disciples knew that they had to get their number back up to 12. A pivotal leader of a church should go off in the wrong direction is sadly a familiar story. But when it happens, it cuts very deep. And for any Christian to move away from the path of holiness is a betrayal. Any Christian. So the leader wakes up in bed with the wrong person, or ends up with money in their account that is not theirs, and they didn't get there straight away. They, like us, got there by lots and lots of small moral shortcuts, by stopping the discipline of leading the holy life. They, like us, so how did that apply to Judas? Maybe he was trying to force Jesus' hand. Maybe he was wanting to speed it all up. Speed it all up. How interesting. Wanting to speed it all up. Maybe he had lost his vision of who Jesus was. But whatever else, he is a warning. A warning to each of us. What we're going to do now is we're going to pray. We're going to be silent. And then when I start praying, you're going to notice all those people that have nodded off to sleep. Okay? Because they're suddenly going to go, whoa. Okay? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, show us what it means to live a holy life. Not for them to live a holy life, but for me each of us as an individual, in the place where we swim, to live a holy life. Help us to make choices faithful to your way. Choices leading to truth and to peace. Choices leading to truth and to peace. To carry your light into hopeless places. Choices that fill us with your joy. Lord, we pray. Strengthen us. Amen. We join together to sing, "We turn to you, O God of every nation."
Thank you.
We join together to pray. Let us pray. Loving God, we echo the words of Jesus and pray for protection. For those people whose lives are at risk. For those whose job means that they are in danger. Those who live in war zones. Those whose homes are places of violence. For the church, as it seeks to proclaim truth. For those small urban communities who live with low-level vandalism day by day. For those that other people would seek to slander or discredit. For those who are facing surgery this week. For one another, as we live out our faith in the world. Pray protection. And we pray, loving God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let's pray. For your gifts and your grace to us, O God, we give you thanks. And we respond with the offering of all that we have and all that we are. In Jesus' name, Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, Loving God, Your Joyful Spirit.
Thank you.
Have a seat. It's not on. Try it again.
Good morning.
Yay!
We thought we'd share with you some of what the children have been doing, so I'm going to ask the children to come up with their shields, because we've been thinking about the word protect and how Jesus asked God to protect his friends when he went to be with his Father in heaven. So come forward with your shields. You need to hold them up very high. Not sure Kino can get that high because he's too tiny. Come to the front. And hold them up high, because in a minute, all the adults are going to go, wow. Okay, they don't know that at the moment, but they will. Okay, right, hold them up nice and high, everybody. What do you think of that?
Wow.
And now we're going to do something that KURC might not have done before in the church. And if it goes badly, horribly wrong, we'll never be doing it again. But the children have been learning a little song, and we've been doing the conga around the hall. And
done
we
it.
Thought
done it.
It would be
done
so...
It.
You have done it. Good. Well, they'll be practiced at it then, won't they? Be great. And we thought it would be so much better if everyone joined us in the song, and if there were some grown-ups who'd join us with the dance going around the church as well. So hands up. Who wants to join us in the conga as we go around the church? Thank you very much, Jane. Ken Bartlett. I cannot wait to see Ken Bartlett doing the conga around the church. Bethany, Maddie, yes, excellent. Right, we're ready. The song is, Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. So if you're not dancing, I want to hear you singing, okay? Are we ready?
Yes.
Grown-ups who want to join in with the conga, come and join. Let's try and make it a really, really long one. Oh, sorry, Bethany. Right, are we ready to sing? We've remembered the words. Yeah, we can do this, can't we? Rosemary Moore, you're a star. Right, are we ready? Is the congregation ready to sing?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Jesus with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. Jesus is with us wherever we go, wherever we go, wherever we go. Jesus is with us wherever we go, all day long. I invite everybody to stand for the blessing. If your legs will let you. Holy and gracious God, we know that you will be with us wherever we go. Help us to show and tell others about your love. Keep us safe. And bless us in your work, in your world. Lord, we pray. Amen.